It means to have fellowship.
All right. Right.
Common, right. Which comes from the word communion, right. Which comes from the word having something in common, meaning a likeness of commonality.
All right. Break it down.
Family. Uh-huh. One thing about us is that what? We have a commonality in who? Like, what does it have to do with family? There it is. We fellowship. As a result of us having this common out, which the word communion comes from, people having the like-mindedness of understanding what Jesus did on the cross, the death, the life, the burial, the resurrection, and us, our belief in that gives us in the remembrance of Holy Communion and remembering his death and suffering, that we may be able to commune with each other to show who he is in life for us. Common. Fellowship. Amen. Right. So tell your neighbor we are in fellowship.
We're fellowship.
There goes my new amen corner. Verses 45. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them all as to every man has and had a need. I'll say that again. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had needs. One thing I realize that we as people won't do is give something that we have to someone else if we have to. I'll say it again. We're not willing to give.
All right.
Sometimes, some of us are, not saying, but we're not willing to share. You know, our goal in life is to build as much money that we have to make ourselves as successful as we can be so that we can have what we need to never have to worry about stuff when we get of age where we can't work anymore. They call it pensions and retirements. I want to be able to rely on myself so I don't ever have to worry about this ever again.
All right.
But notice what they did. As the spirit fell upon them, they felt the need to what? So a family shares.
All right.
Right.
I remember growing up as a youngster, like I'm old, but as a younger than I am right now, me and my friend was always my friend Chris, or actually me and Tiffany. Tiffany and Deidre, they'd come to the house and my sister would watch us and we'd eat, share. Sandwiches. Tiffany didn't like cheese on her hamburgers. So if she was going to share with me, if I was going to want something from her hamburger, I was going to have to notice it's not going to have any cheese on there. So what I would do was take a piece of sliced cheese, cut it in half so I could have my cheese on my burger and she can have her hamburger without cheese.
All right.
We shared.
That's right.
Even though it was all that we had, that's all we were going to eat. We didn't have the opportunity to say, well, I don't want this, or this is mine. You got to get your own. I think it is important for us as believers to learn that we need to share.
That's right. Yeah.
Not so much build upon what we have, but to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
The reason why the society is where we are right now is because we have learned, we have gotten to the point where it's all about me.
All right.
It's all about what I have. You got to get your own because I got mine.
Right.
But then what happens is when you don't have what you thought you need to have, guess what you want to do? But what I liked about this passage of scripture is that when they said, what they did was they took all that they had, all their belongings, brought it together, sold it, and dispersed it to everyone as they needed. Family fulfills a need. Amen. Are y'all with me? And they continuing daily with one accord, which means in agreement, and in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Turn to your neighbor. Spiritual food.
Makes natural food.
Taste better. I'll say it again. Spiritual food.
Makes natural food. Taste better.
Spiritual food makes natural food
taste better.
Now, what you're asking me, like, what does that mean? As you begin to get the sincere meat, as Paul was talking about of the word, you start to want to tell somebody else about it. Then what do? You say, hey, you know what? Why don't you come to the house? True story. On Tuesday, we had choir rehearsal here. We had choir rehearsal. regular, normal day, choir rehearsal, got our praise on, did our songs. We were ready to worship with Mountain View. And I happened to say, man, I got my meat on for my, because I'm a cook. I love to cook. So I made red beans and rice on Wednesday. So what I did was on Tuesday night before I left for choir rehearsal, I got me some smoked meat and I put it in the boiling water and let it just boil to get, you know, it's for flavor. You know, you got to get that. Fat is good, like Emeril Lagasse said, fat is good. Fat is flavor, so don't mind me if I talk about fat, but fat is good. You know, if you took some of the food that you like and took the fat off, you wouldn't like it no more. You ever had a lean steak that had no fat on it? Anyway, I'll leave y'all alone with that. Anyway, but so I happened to just like say that, and then my sister Tiffany said, oh, we coming to your house for red beans and rice? And my wife says, come on over, right? So needless to say, you know, I had six, seven people over the house. Mom, even daddy's not even in the choir, but he decided to just pop in and say, you know, Pastor James has a way of just presenting himself. You know how he was something, he kind of just walks like this and doesn't say much and he'll sit down and just you know, and he want to say he's kind of, so for some reason, I'm thinking mom was going to drop dad off at the house. And mom was gonna come, but next thing you know it, I hear two car doors shut. I said, oh, she must have brought somebody, but guess who it was? Pastor Jamo over here trying to get some red beans and rice. But what I found it very particular about this day was that it was the spirit that the choir has been under this spirit of joy, and the Holy Spirit has really been in our choir rehearsals. I mean, sometimes we get done singing and we don't even want to leave the church. Because of the Spirit, we're talking about the goodness of the Lord. We're talking about how good God has been. We're talking about giving testimonies of what God has done in our lives individually. And what I noticed is that on Wednesday, we ate and we fellowshiped and laughed. And next thing you know, we started talking about Jesus. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jakey, or am I wrong? We just started having this random conversation about what God can do for you when you're in certain times of trouble. And I was like, why is it that this was so awesome of a fellowship? Was it? It wasn't the fact that my beans were so good. Well, maybe it was, but it wasn't the fact the weather was great because it was hot. But it was the spiritual food that we have been eating lately.
All right.
We've been munching on this spiritual food. We've been reading our word and coming to Bible study. We just got out of revival service. And as you start to surround yourself around spiritual things, God starts to bless you in a natural sense.
Amen.
So it is in the natural as it is in the what? Spiritual. But oftentimes we're so busy worrying about the natural and not even trying to feed our spiritual.
Right.
Guess what happens? Our natural is full, but our spiritual is hungry.
That's right.
So are you feeding yourself from the natural and spiritual? Are y'all with me still? Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see the fellowship. We see the faith. We see the family. We see the food. And now, as a result of all those things, we see what? Favor.
All right, good.
When we're walking in the will of what God has called us to do, we find favor amongst Him.
Amen.
Oftentimes, we realize why things aren't going the way they ought to be going. But then you have to ask yourself, are you doing what you ought to be doing? I remember growing up, I remember, it's so funny when you preach. I wonder why my dad always got up and had a story about everything. And now as I begin to preach more, I start to realize there's a story that goes with every, that has an aspect to every story, there's another story. So now I'm thinking, I remember that if I would do what I should be doing at home, I'd get favor. I'd get extra money, I get to go out, he'd borrow the car. But when let me not do what I was supposed to be doing. You guys know, I mean, I'm serious. Like when, or better yet, you're at your job, and you're meeting all your obligations, you're meeting your quotas, and what does the boss say? Oh, you know what? You have been such a great employee. I want to give you a raise. Let you not do that. What are they gonna say? Well, hey, you know what? It's been real. I'll give you your PEP evaluation. I'm gonna say meet expectations, but you're not gonna get a raise. But you still have your job. Amen. But God gives you favor when you call, when you're doing what He's called you to do. So before, let's not be before you long. There's four concepts I want to leave with you. As a result of what of the oneness through the Holy Spirit, you will first see a desire to fellowship. You will see a desire to fellowship. Look at that. Oh, it's already at number one. Look at that. You will see a desire to fellowship. The Holy Spirit is magnetic. And it is attracted to the positive, godly, filled people. Because you are who you are, and you're spirit-filled, you can't help but to tell other people about God. You can't help but to be around people who are about the same thing you are about. You want to tell other people about how good God has been, and every time you get an opportunity to, you want to say, hey, man, look what God did. Man, my leg was hurting this morning, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to work on the job today. But guess what? I prayed and asked the Lord to deliver me and touch my leg. And look, man, I'm over here doing more than I thought I was going to be able to do. And then everybody else around them say, well, how are you? What did you do, man? Well, you know, you wouldn't believe this, but I asked God to touch my leg. And guess what He did? Number two. You should have a desire to share the faith. Share the faith. Share the faith. Are you sharing your faith? Oftentimes, you people can go to work with you and they'll never know you're a Christian. Because you go to work, come home, do your job, go to work, do your job, laugh, jawjack with all the stories that they jawjack at. Never once even say, you know what? My Bible teaches me that such as, oh, I had such a great Bible study yesterday. This is what we learned. And what do you think about this? We're so busy concentrating on what we do. We're not willing to think about what the faith that God has put in us that, and others that may be have the opportunity to share as well. So it says, the gift of the Holy Spirit is not something that should be kept to oneself, but it should be like a fire igniting everywhere that the believer goes. I want to say it's 2 Timothy 1 and 6, where Paul tells Timothy to what? To stir the gift, to light the fire, perpetuate the fire. Don't let it die. The church, the reason why the church is not as powerful as it used to be is because we have started to let the flame go out. We're starting to let the flame go out. I barbecued, another story. I barbecued yesterday. I got this new, my wife bought me a Father's Day gift, and it was a vertical, where my guy at? My barbecue guy. He just went in the back. It was a vertical smoker. It's like this big, and it has an offset firebox. And I went to the store, and, you know, Smithfield to me has some of the best pork you can get from Virginia, and I got me a rack of ribs, and they had these little riblets that I bought and seasoned them, and I put them in the smoker. I seasoned my grill and put them in the smoker, and you know, you have to maintain the temperature between 250 and 275, or if not, then you're just gonna have like cold smoke like bacon, and doesn't taste good. Ever had bacon smoked ribs? Don't really taste good. But I ended up doing that, and my flame kept going out. Kept going out. The more I put into the flame, it kept going out. But then I realized that the more fire, the more fuel and the more wood I put into the flame, the temperature went up. Mm-hmm. That's how our spirit ought to be. The more fuel you put into it, the more it burns. The more it burns, the more people can get caught on fire with the same spirit that you have. So I have three questions for you, and then we're done. Are you sharing your faith? Are you eating spiritual and natural food? And are you looking to find favor with God? God bless you.
God bless you, man. Good word, brother. Good word. I want to take a minute just to talk to you quickly about the reason that we do all this stuff. We did this last year, and we came together and did similar things, and I dubbed it Outreach Week because I believe it's important that we reach out. And I thought, what a great way to put this stuff together. And so, like I was saying, last Saturday, the youth and I went to Love Fontana and went around and talked to people and shared the gospel with people. And then we had VBS this week, and we were able to share the gospel with a lot of kids. And yesterday we had the neighborhood barbecue, and today we're having Jersey Sunday. All of these things, every single one of them, is designed to just do one thing: to give us a chance to talk to you about what we call the gospel. The gospel just means good news. It's a real simple thing. And I get scared sometimes because I wonder if we share it in a way that it is good news. Sometimes it comes off like a whole other burden of things we have to do or things we have to believe. But the reality is it's supposed to be a thing of freedom, a thing that frees us. One of my favorite things that I've been experiencing recently in my walk is when I have a chance to share the gospel with somebody and they have this moment where they just go, oh, that's what God wants. That's what it is. It's actually very simple. And the thing about it is, it's actually just as much for the believer as it is for those that don't know the Lord. Because we as believers need to remember the good news that brought us to this thing in the first place. Because the moment that we forget that and start to perform for God, and we lose sight of his goodness and his grace, our religion becomes just that, religion. And so today I want to remind every single one of you that God loves you. That he loves you unconditionally. And his love for you is so great that before the world was created, he loved you specifically. He loved you so much. But something happened along the way, and it's what the Bible calls sin. And sin is just a word that we use in church to mean anything that's bad, anything that's wrong, anything that we do that we're not supposed to do. And it can be anything from as simple as unforgiveness to something as malicious as hatred, because it's all related. And everything in between, every amount of dishonesty, every issue in our life, every sin. But Jesus came. You see, the issue is that we can't get rid of our own sin. And because of that, we stay stuck in that. And all of our sin, it pulls us away from God. And there's nothing that you or I can do to fix it. See, the Bible says that all of our righteousness, all of our good works is like filthy rags. It's nothing. It's just rubbish. And so we try to do better. We try to balance this out. And I lied this many times. So I'm going to go to church this many times. And none of that works. None of that works. And it's this exhausting cycle of just failure. Because we can't be good enough. We can't get rid of our sins. But that's why Jesus came. See, that is why Jesus came. See, I don't know why y'all go to sleep when I come up here and preach. That's why Jesus came, I said. And he lived the life that was perfect. Perfect and sinless and righteous and holy, the way we can't live. And then he died. He died, and he didn't just die a physical death that people saw. That would have been bad enough. But no, he died in a way that none of us will ever understand. He died with the punishment and the wrath and the cost of all of the sins of the world, every single person that has ever lived and ever will live. He paid the price for that sin. And in doing so, he made a way that if we would trust in him, we could have what Scripture calls eternal life, which is simply the relationship with God that he wants to have with us. The fact that he loves us so much and wants to come into our... That's what he wants, to know you and for you to know him. And that only happens if you trust in what Jesus did on the cross. But that's all it takes. It doesn't take a whole bunch of other works. You don't have to dress a certain way or look a certain way or even talk a certain way. See, God deals with us on our behavior once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, once we know Jesus Christ. Because otherwise, it's a waste of energy. And so you come to God just as you are. And you trust in what Jesus has done. And if you'll do that, he promises eternal life, which is a relationship with him now and a life in heaven with him later. You know, I was sharing this, it's still affecting me, Friday night with the kids at VBS. And we had like, I don't know, almost 40 kids or somewhere in here. And I shared this, and I was so innocent and so simple for them that I did it twice because I wasn't sure if they heard me. Because when I asked them to make a decision for Christ, it was instant. There was no hesitation. There was, well, I got to get on this thing. There was no walls. There was no pride. There was no arrogance. There was just this, well, of course I want to know the one that made me. Of course I do. And I've given the gospel so many times as a minister, and every time there's spiritual warfare, even right now. I don't know if anybody else sees it. I don't think I'm special, but I'm just the one given it. But I can see it. There's walls. There's the enemy. I know you know about it, brother. And y'all think we're just giving it a talk. But no, there's a spiritual battle going on every time we share this message. And it weighs on you as the one that gives it. It does. And sometimes when we're doing outreaches and we have a room full of people that don't know the Lord and they're homeless or going through stuff and they're having issues, I can see it on their faces and feel it in my soul, and it weighs on me. But when I gave the gospel to those kids, it was the most freeing, simple thing. And I just pray for all of you that you would come to know God like a child, that you would come to know him in a way that has no walls, no reservations, no falsehood, no arrogance, no none of that crud, just coming to know him simply as Father. But I ask y'all, do me a favor and bow your head and close your eyes. I want to pray over y'all real quick. I want to give out one invitation for two groups of people. If you're here today and you've heard what I've been saying and what Pastor Emery is saying and what those worship bands are playing and all this coming together, there's a couple of places you might be. One is this. Maybe you've never in your life placed your trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Maybe you heard it before, but it just never happened, or it didn't make sense, or you just weren't ready, or you didn't, whatever the thing was, whatever kept you away. But maybe today is your day that you would say, I want to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior and come to know him and begin to live for him. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to be made right with God. But maybe you're in another place and you've done that before. And in the past, you've known God and you've walked with him and you've loved him and you've felt his love for you. But something happened along the way and you just wandered off. Maybe you were pushed. Who knows? Someone hurt you. You were disappointed. Somewhere along the way, something took place and you wandered away from the Lord. And then one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you just go, I don't know if I can go to church anymore, because I'm so distant from God. So you stay away. Or you come and you just pretend it's okay. I want you to know that God's not angry, that he loves you. And if you're a runaway, he just wants you to run home. And so today, if this is either your first time or you feel like you need to recommit your life to Christ, all I want you to do is just raise your hand and put it right back down. I want to pray for you from where I am. If this is your you're making any kind of a commitment for the Lord today, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, I pray for those who are doing business with you right now. They're accepting your calling in their life. They're accepting your love into their life, and you're drawing them closer to you. God, I thank you so much for changed lives, for the gospel going forth, for the Holy Spirit filling people's lives. I pray that you would take them and seal them in a way that is so real that they'd know that today they knew you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. So I want to say this real quick, and then we're going to turn it over to Bishop Emery to do a presentation. So throughout this week, I've been keeping track, because this is what I live for. But as of right now, we've had somewhere around 40 people make decisions for Christ this week alone. So I'm excited about that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I know every year we try to acknowledge during this time, as Pastor Nate said, this was Outreach Week. And so we want to present some certificates to a few people. First of all, I want Nate to come back and get this from us. This is a certificate from Ephesian Testament Church in regards to celebrating Family Day with us. And if you're a member, either church, if you brought some guests with you, have you and your guests stand up. We want to see who brought the most. We have a certificate for you. If you brought a guest with you today, stand. If you brought somebody with you, stand up. Who are you responsible for? Just stand up. Stand up so we can count. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. Okay. It looks like who's responsible for Sister Hinton's family? Come on, Sister Issa. No, but let's give it Elder Caraway. Come on, Elder Caraway. Amen. All right. Oh. She made two, one for Mountain View and one for us. Anybody from Mountain View bring a guest today? Anybody? Okay, come get your certificate. And represent your church. Come on, give God a hand, praise you. Come on. Where is Brother Charles? Is Brother Charles here? Huh? Where's he at? Where's Charles? He's out cooking. It's whoever would. This is for Charles. Charles has done so much for us this year in Ephesians, and we are just excited about his service. He is one that is always there doing what he does. And we take him for granted sometimes, but I want him to know we appreciate it. Now, I have a little bit of business that I need to do with our denominational church. Every year we go to the convocation and they acknowledge the loss of membership amongst each member. And they print up a certificate in honor of that person that passed on. This year we lost a very valuable member for a number of years, Sister Tommy Hinton. And the United Holy Church of America wants to acknowledge her loss, and I want to present this to Miss Linda, amen, in regards to your mother from her national church. And this is something that you can keep to let you know that we care, we think about you, and a national church cared about her service to her church, okay? Thank you so much. All right, that's all I have. Who's giving a benediction? Come on, Nate, give the benediction. Let's give God a hand praise for all that he has done. Amen. I enjoyed the band today. I enjoyed the music. How many of you all did that? Didn't
Father, we thank you so much for a great week, a great day, just a great time in your presence, a great word, great music, all this stuff. God, I pray that you would continue. And just like Emery was talking about, spiritual food makes natural food taste better. Well, I'm pretty sure this food's going to be pretty good. But either way, I pray that the spirit that we have here of unity and of worship would continue even as we go eat lunch together. I thank you for those that are out there already preparing it. I pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as far as I know, we're just going to form a line by the table right there in the foyer. And then good luck.